There we go.
There it is.
The goat returns.
How you doing, boys?
Doing good. How does it feel to be the only listener of our podcast?
It's fantastic. You know, this podcast and your two angelic voices keep me company on my ride home on Thursdays.
Good. Good. I'm glad someone listens to us in the car. I think that's really a good milestone for us.
That's true love.
It's great.
I think you're also our very first recurring guest, so we'll try to make it back and send it to you eventually.
It is an honor, but has there been another guest?
We don't want to talk about it. But
all right, just asking.
Here's my question for you. Are you going to listen to this episode on your way home on Thursday?
Of course I am. You don't think I, the narcissist that I am, hearing my own voice?
So you don't have that. You don't have that weird thing where you hear your voice like in a video or something, and you're like, ugh.
Oh, it sounds so different than real life. I hear it in a video, and I'm like, this is what people listen to? I sound this good in real life?
You mean gay?
Whoa,
Alex,
there.
Have you ever listened to one of our podcasts?
I have only heard tidbits as I edit. I've never listened to it.
I've never listened to it either.
I just can't.
Now, I think what we should do, kind of as we get closer, especially to the end of this football season, we need to pick some episodes to go back and listen to just so that we can review takes, at least.
Okay. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I texted you guys about the Georgia LSU takes, right?
I texted you about, yeah. Yeah, you did.
What's up with the mocking? It hurts me, too.
You know I love you.
I don't know. I have my questions. I have my doubts.
Don't doubt that.
Okay, so do we want to start off with usual story time?
TC, I want to hear this story so badly.
Which story?
Your story.
My date story?
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Arnav, Alex, you're going to have to hear the repeated jokes because I still
That's fine.
Okay.
They are. Arnav, they're great.
So, I don't know how much Alex told you, but I did, I think, have a date on Friday.
You think? Okay.
Yeah, I think. So okay. I'll start off with the beginning. I'm sitting there at work at my desk doing probably nothing. And this girl walks in. And this is at the apartment complex, not the other job. And so we just had our renewal period. And so she's asking me about our renewal special, the $20 off, stuff like that. And so I give her that information and she walks off. And then like 2 seconds later, she comes back in and she's asking me, like, are we still hiring? How to apply for a job here? And so I'm walking her through all that, and all of a sudden she stops and goes, oh my gosh. And I'm like, what? And she points at my phone case and says, I love that movie. Have you seen my phone case?
No, I haven't.
It is a picture of Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon.
I like it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's apparently a lady killer too. So she's like, I love that movie. It's so great. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's a great movie. I love it. And we're talking about it. And I'm like, did you see the trailer for the third one they released a couple days ago? And she's like, no, I didn't see it. I didn't even know there was a third one. Will you go see it with me? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I feel like all of my concerns about asking out a girl at work were just completely justified in that moment. Because, like, I probably wouldn't have said no anyway, let's be honest. But I didn't feel like if I wanted to say no, that I could have said no. I was supposed to make her happy. I was supposed to say yes to everything. I just felt trapped.
Right.
Which would become a recurring theme later. But she was like, when's it come out? And I'm like, in May. And she's like, oh, well, you gotta get the number so we can talk about this. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I write down my number and I hand it to her. And she walks off. And I'm just like, what just happened? That has never happened to me
before. Yeah, that's a whirlwind of events.
Yeah. So I think she was pretty cute. I mean, like, she wasn't really my type specifically, but like when she walked in, I kind of did that almost unconscious, like, yeah, she's pretty cute, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So she texts me like 5 minutes later, and I look at it, I'm like, I'm not responding yet. So I waited all the way until I got off work before I even like looked at it again. And so I got off work at 6, I swung by Chick-fil-A, grabbed some Chick-fil-A, went back home, sat down, getting ready to play some Fortnite. And I sent her a text, like, you know, we texted about the movie. I sent her the link to the trailer. She texts back. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm so excited. And she's like, hey, how spontaneous are you? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't been tested in a while. Why? And she says, let's go get dinner. And so this is the moment where I was like, I could tell immediately I really didn't want to go. I would have rather played Fortnite. Which I think right. said a lot about, because you know, dedication. If you're really attracted to a girl, I don't think it would be a question at all.
Right.
But so, at the same time, I was like, I haven't been on a date in like a year and a half. What's it going to hurt? Is someone urinating?
Yeah, Alex, little suspect there.
Carry on.
Really, man? You couldn't mute it? You couldn't cover up the mic? We had to listen to that? Wow.
I'm not peeing.
You're a terrible liar, and I'm disappointed in you. Sorry, TC. Sorry we have to deal with amateur hour over here. Back to you.
Oh, believe me, dude. Oh, all right, gosh. So at this point, this is where I called Alex, and I was like, do I do this? And Alex encouraged me. He's like, go for it. It's just right. dinner. What's it going to hurt?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there and
– Alex, can you be quiet, please?
I'm basically still in, like, my khakis polo from work, and I'm like, I'm not even going to bother changing because I live, like, 20 minutes away from the apartment complex anyway. So I just got dressed. I already drank my shake and eaten my fries, but I was like, whatever. I'll just suffer through eating more dinner. It's fine. So I get in the car, and I saw she texted me, so I just gave her a call because obviously I'm not going to text and drive. Don't text and drive. And she calls me, and she's like, what are you wearing? I was like, oh, what? She's like, yeah, I just don't want to, like, you know, I want to make sure we're dressed the same. And I'm like, oh, what? She's like, I don't want to be super classy if you're not classy, and I don't want you to be too classy than me. And I'm like,
right.
I'm in khakis and a button down. She's like, okay. I'll make sure to dress up a little. I'm like, okay, whatever. But we ended up going to Outback, which was probably the only good thing about the date at all.
Oh, boy.
So I pick her up from the apartment complex, and from the moment I pick her up to the moment we're about 5 minutes into dinner, I knew it wasn't going to work.
What was the red flag?
Okay. So there are a lot of red flags. Okay. And I'll go in order of what was most important to me. So I pick her up, and we're driving to dinner. And just in, like, little bits of conversation, she was already, like, I'm going to sound mean saying it. I'm going to sound mean saying everything. But she was pretty, like, arrogant about what was right and what was wrong. Like, she was talking about how organized of a person she was, how detailed. And I was, I was saying, like, hey, take a look in the back of my car. It's a mess. And she's telling me how, you know, it shouldn't be like this. Everything should have its place. I was telling her about how I never used an agenda since about sixth grade, and she was like literally like chastising me a little bit about my schedule, and I'm like, I mean, come on, relax.
Wow, yeah.
I don't even remember how we got on the subject, but she started talking about how police across the United States have a certain quota of people they have to arrest every year, and which is why they pick on the younger generation, like college kids in downtown Athens, and I was like, yeah, cool. Interesting. Haven't heard that. Like, yeah. I saw everything about it on this TV special. I was like, cool. So what else do you watch? And so we started talking about movies a little bit. We talked about How to Train Your Dragon. So we get to the restaurant about 8:15. And she's brought up this reference a couple times in the car already. And she'd bring it up about another 4 or 5 times during dinner. But she was a really big feminist.
And okay.
She kept talking about Barbie. Like, girls growing up have to be a Barbie doll. And she's like, you know, like, all these people think I have to be such a Barbie. I just don't want to do that. I want to be strong. I want to be, like, I don't want to be blonde. I don't want to be all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds rough. I don't know what, as a guy, I'm supposed to say to that at all.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't – I just don't know how to respond. I don't think I have to respond. but just constantly it was all these, like, feminist undertones. Moana is such a good movie because she's the first, like, physically strong Disney princess. The Princess and the Frog is great. It's very different. They had that Barbie doll that came out, and it was like an amputee leg, and how great that was.
What? Wait, what was that?
I don't remember. We were talking about Christmas presents. She was talking about her sister. I think that's how we got to the Barbie doll thing. But I honestly, like, the Heat game, the Heat were playing the Hawks. I'm sure you're pretty happy about that. I was watching that.
Oh, yeah.
USF was playing Tulsa. And, like, that was a 22-21 game. And I was honestly upset because, like, USF was up 14-0 at one point, and I completely missed how that even came about.
Okay.
This date. But this is really what sunk it for me. Also, during the car ride, like, before it all turned badly, she was like, hey, we should go back to my apartment and watch a movie later.
Oh, wow. And,
like, yeah. Me,
like, being the idiot, said, yeah, sure, that sounds great. But so we're talking about her favorite movies at dinner, and this is where it just ended. So she's like, okay, here are my like seven favorites of all time. I'm like, okay, go. Her first one was Inception. Pretty good.
Right.
Her number two was Home.
Was Home?
Do you know what that is?
I have no idea.
It came out in 2014, I think. It had Sheldon from Big Bang Theory as a voice actor. It's that movie that has the little purple alien and like the black girl, and it's got Rihanna also voice acting.
I don't think I've even heard of this. Yeah, I haven't
either.
It's pretty trash. But I like it came on TV. My sister was watching it, and I couldn't take it. But like this girl, Holm was like she was quoting this movie to me, like all these real random lines, just telling me all about it. And it was very, very strange, but it's one of those quirks that I think you could kind of move past as long as everything else is okay. It could just be some like, little cool feature that she has.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Her number three, The Lion King. Two. The Lion King 2.
Nice.
And so I was like, wait. The Lion King 2? She's like, yeah. I was like, not the first Lion King. She's like, no. The Lion King 2 is way better than the first Lion King. And just for me, having never seen or heard the fact that there was a second Lion King, I was like, there's no way that it can be better. She's like, no. It's way better. It has way better songs. And you want to know something else? And I was like, what? It sounds way better in Hebrew. And this is what I told Alex. I've had some discussions with Mormons just about the Bible in general. And, like, talking to them is so difficult because it's basically like you're trying to start a fire underwater. Every time something happens, it just gets put out because they're just making things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like that's what was happening because there's no physical way a movie written and performed in English about Africa could sound better in Hebrew. It doesn't make any sense. And that was the moment I was like, this isn't going to work. I can't move past it. I just can't. And so we got to the restaurant at 8:15. We did not leave until close to 10:45. And
wow.
I don't know how long, and I was talking to Alex about this, I don't know how long these dates are supposed to last. Like, when I had that blind date with that girl Caitlin set me up with a couple years ago, we were at the restaurant or the coffee shop for 2 hours before I had to make something up just to get out of that. And then we were at this restaurant for over 2 hours, and it just would not end. She kept eating slower and slower. It was like she'd take one bite every 7 minutes, and then just, like, keep multiplying that.
Arnav, what are your thoughts on your first date with Austin? How long was it?
How long was it? Well, that's also just a weird scenario because I was in the friend zone for so long. So we knew each other real well by then. So it was probably like 2.5 hours or so. It was a dinner.
All right.
See, I definitely think there's a distinction there because if you're enjoying the date, it doesn't matter how long it is. But definitely if you're not enjoying the date, and especially for a first date, I don't see it really going beyond an hour unless it goes very, very well. I don't see why.
Yeah.
It also depends on what kind of restaurant you're at.
That too. But
well, I think on a first date, it's like almost, I feel like common, granted, it's been a while, but like, I feel like it's common courtesy to be ready to, you know, pull the plug at any point and not take that long on her part and drag dinner out like that.
Thank you. And I was telling, have you seen How I Met Your Mother?
Of course.
Yeah, you know, I cannot remember the name of it, but that rule Barney has that, like, he tries to start this thing where it's like the MacGuffin rule, and then the date's just over. It doesn't matter. That needs to be a real thing, because I really was like, I need to get out of this.
And yeah.
And so we finally get to the point where we're leaving the restaurant, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go back for the movie. I'm trying to think of a way out, and we're driving back. And first off, she's also criticizing how slow I'm driving, which has, like, never happened to me at all. Anyway, I always get criticized for driving too fast, and she's telling me I'm going too slow. And I'm just
what a gal.
And,
what a gal.
How fast were you going?
I was going like 30, 35, 40 in downtown Athens.
What's wrong with this girl?
I don't know. But she's
25
like,
there, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like I feel pressured. I'm like, I just have to get out of here. We get to the apartment complex and we're starting to go back in, and she's like, tell me some stuff. And she mentions that she has a cat. And I'm like,
oh, so you went back to her place?
Yeah. I'm like, there it is. There's my out. Because I am, like, really allergic to cats. So I'm like, oh, you know, I don't think I can make it. Like, it's really going to tear up my allergies. I'm going to be so, like, all my mice start crying. And she's like, oh, it's okay. I can put the cat in the bedroom.
Heads up play. I like it.
Oh. And so we get to her apartment. And she puts the cat in the bedroom. We're sitting on the couch. She puts on Moana. And
oh, boy.
And she doesn't like, so I sit on like the middle because there's stuff on the right side. She's on the left side. And she
hold
never
on. There's stuff on the right side? What happened to Miss Organized over here? You should have called her out for that.
That's a good point.
She said it was her roommates.
I don't know. It sounds like a cop out to me. Sorry, go on.
Well, and so she never like made a move or anything, but like I couldn't watch the movie. I couldn't focus on anything. I was just like, please don't come any closer. I kept kind of like doing that thing over and over again, trying to make sure I turn my body, like not give off any wrong signals. And I lasted for about 20 minutes. And I'm like, you know, I'm just about to fall asleep. I think I got to go. I got work in the morning. And she like seemed kind of surprised. She's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. So like, I'm walking to the door. I'm like, and she's like, yeah, this was a lot of fun. We should do it again. I'm like, yeah. So I was like, I think honesty is the best policy. I don't think it's a good place for a relationship. I just don't think, you know, I'm like, I got so much stuff going on. And she says, oh, no. This was just a friend's thing. And so
what?
I got like, because I've said that before. I was in this exact same position almost exactly a year ago with this other whole date. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, me too. I'm fine with that. And she sold it. I fully believed, like, on the way down, about 5 minutes in the car, as I was just soaking in everything that had happened, that this was just a friend's thing. And how did I misread this situation again? But I really think what had to happen is that she was just saving face. Like, it has to be it. Because there's no way I misread all the signals.
Right.
But, like, I gotta give her props, because, like, she was a complete feminist. She 100% alpha'd me the whole night. Like, from start to finish, I never had any control over anything at all.
I was going to say, Cece, it sounds like you got dunked on is what it sounds like.
Dude, but she wanted you, TC. She wanted you bad.
I
mean, in the span of 6 hours, she walked into where you worked and then had you back on a couch with herself watching a movie at 11 p.m. That's good.
I know. I wish I had that power. So.
Well, TZ, let me ask you this. If she made a move on the couch.
Yeah.
What would the reaction have been?
I would have gotten so uncomfortable, but I would have had to get out. I was so like, I was like almost sick to my stomach being uncomfortable in her apartment. There was no way I could have sat through it anymore. I would have been gone.
Wow.
That's unbelievable, dude. That is an unbelievable story.
TC, just don't sound so remorseful, regretful that this happened, because this Alex would die for.
You're such a fool, dude. Oh my gosh.
He's lonely up there, TC. You can hear the sorrow in his voice. You can hear the wanting, the yearning in his voice.
Quivering. Someone visit.
But that cost me a whole night of Fortnite right there, which is really honestly the most disappointing part of the whole thing.
Yeah, we missed you,
TC. It was a glorious night. Not as good as the second night, though.
It was not as good as the second night. Second night. All right. The cut always sneaks up on me.
It does. Okay, there we go. All right, sweet. Have I told you about the LSD kid?
The LSD kid? No.
Okay, this is great. A story we both haven't heard. I'm excited for this.
Okay, so I'm at work on Wednesday. This guy works with me.
I love Wisconsin, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I work with the craziest people. I've never met such weirdos in my life. So this kid, imagine a guy that looks like Post Malone without the face tattoos. So he's like this white guy, pasty, long brown hair down to his shoulders.
Nice.
Just creepy looking.
Character.
So we're sitting at lunch on Wednesday, and he comes up to me. And he says, hey, can I sit with you guys? I was like, yeah, sounds good. So he sits down and he goes, my name is Bart. And I was like, Bart? That's a name I haven't heard before. And so, you know, we introduce ourselves, whatever. We eat lunch. And then on the way back, he comes up next to me and starts, like, chit-chatting with me about all, like, these things he experiments with. He starts talking about craft beers, nitrogen-infused beers, all this stuff that he likes to try, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
While he's telling me this, he goes, dude, like, anytime you want to come over, let me know. And he hands me his phone. And I'm like, geez. So I put in my number. I'm like, God, where is this going to go? This is never good. So the next day, on Thursday, he comes up to me in the morning. It's like 9:30 in the morning. And he goes, I think we were talking about like the McGregor fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, yeah, I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And yeah. I was like, okay, sweet, dude. So I start talking about that. He goes, yeah, my sensei he knows Joe Rogan. And he goes, I'm only 2 degrees of separation away from Joe Rogan. I was like, that's pretty sick. So I watch the Joe Rogan podcast a lot. And there's an episode on Joe Rogan where he talks about mushrooms and psychedelics.
Yeah.
So I bring that up, and then Bart goes, oh, yeah, dude, I know all about that stuff. And
oh, boy.
Like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, dude, I experiment all the time. He's like the experimental guy.
This guy is a modern-day Frankenstein. I love it.
He's crazy, dude. So he goes, I said, so what do you experiment with? He's like, well, I do weed. And I was like, okay. And he goes, I also do shrooms. So I'll blend them up into a milkshake. I'm like, oh, nice. And he goes, but my favorite's LSD. And I was like,
really? Nice.
So I started asking about LSD, feeding the fire. And he goes, oh, yeah, I sneak it onto airplanes. It's odorless. The dogs can't sniff it. I've done it multiple times and all this stuff. And then so this conversation goes on for like 5 minutes. I ask him about how the trip is. He's like, it's great. You really learned a lot about yourself, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, dude, this Saturday I've got a guy I met here coming over, and I'm more than happy to share. I love sharing the experience with people. So let me know if you want to come over and do a little LSD with me. And I was like, yeah, man, I'll let you know. Yeah. I'll send you a text or something. He's like, sweet, bro. Sweet. Sounds good. So I'm just like, why do I always find myself in these awkward situations? I think it's because I feed the fire.
Like you might. You might, yeah.
I egg them on. I act like I'm super interested.
Yeah, you just got to shut these down.
Also, and I hate to bring this up, but is it possible you got invited to a, over-the-top threesome?
I think this is like the second story I've told on this podcast where you've asked me that question, DC.
I don't mean to, but it's just like, this guy does a lot of drugs. He's inviting another guy over to do drugs with him, and then he's trying to get you to go too. Like, just the pasty Post Malone, no tattoos.
If his name was Chester the Molester, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, yeah, no. Also, how many, like, the only Bart I've ever heard of is from The Simpsons.
His name is Bart.
Like, one of the big parts of the story to me.
It is, and so he texts me Saturday morning. like at 9:15 a.m. Central Standard Time. And he goes, "Hey, Alex, let me know when you want to come over." And I just didn't respond. That was it. I just didn't respond.
Power move right there.
So that's my LSD story.
And this is really kind of just the silver lining here. I think we should kind of keep encouraging these situations. Too far. But, like, now there's actually an outlet for all this in this podcast.
So
before...
What you're saying is
suffer.
What you're saying is I should probably text him back tonight and say, "Sorry, dude, I just got this," just to see what happens next.
I think that's I don't think that's a bad idea.
Just leave the door cracked. Crack.
Yeah. Just like don't burn the bridge.
Something might end up going up your crack if you're not careful with this.
You're such a moron.
Yeah, this is shaping up to be like that sex scene from Magic Mike. What do they get high on ecstasy or LSD and they do it?
I've never seen Magic Mike.
And I've got a girlfriend, so, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but...
Nice cover.
Be careful. Be careful.
All right.
Arnav, you got a story?
No, I'm in grad school. My life is very, very boring right now.
Okay, can I ask you a story then?
Can you ask me a story?
Yeah, so, because you said you were in the friend zone, and Alex might have already heard, but how did you get out of the friend zone? I always like hearing those stories.
Very, very slowly. we met at my sophomore year, like homecoming time.
Of high school.
Yeah. And then we started dating the day after she graduated. And she's a year older, right? So it was the day after junior year ended. So I couldn't tell you. It was just a very long, painstaking, just awful, awful, awful climb out of a very deep, dark hole that is the friend zone.
But there had to be a point. There had to be a point where you turned the tide.
There were a couple. I don't think I can discuss any of them on this podcast.
PG-13, please. Yes.
Do what now?
PG-13.
Yeah, PG-13. I've been told I'm abiding by these rules. The rules set forth.
Okay. So, here's what I'm asking you. Was there a point where you had to make a huge leap of faith?
No. And it's because I think she did. And it was because I was shooting my shot the entire time and just getting rejected. And I just kept doing it. So I guess it was persistence. Because she finally gave me the chance and it worked out. I'm telling you guys, truly, pathetically, horribly in the friend zone. It was bad.
Dude, we've all been there. No worries.
You're a legend, dude.
Yeah, you got out. You're the hero.
I got out. I got lucky.
Survivor. Okay, well, great story time. So I had, like, a ton of NFL stuff written down. Do we want to go through college real quick before we get into that? Because there's so much that happened. Like,
let's do it.
Okay. So I guess we'll get to Georgia last. So, West Virginia was undefeated going into this week. They lost to Iowa State and it's not a big deal. Don't let anyone tell you it's a big deal.
Okay.
Will Grier is still very good and Iowa State, like they're that upset team. Doesn't matter what sport, college basketball, college football, you can count on them to perform one major upset a year in both sports. This was just their upset. It's not a story. It's okay.
Okay.
I love it, TC.
Notre Dame and Texas both should have lost. And, like, it's so funny watching Texas play football because they do everything every week to convince everyone they're finally back. And then they're just going to choke. So they didn't choke this week. Notre Dame should have lost to Pitt. Pitt had a horrible third and fourth down play call to win the game. And I'm still not a Notre Dame believer, but that's still also not a big deal because Pitt is also that ACC team that's going to upset somebody every year. So this was almost their one for Notre Dame. I think they had one earlier this year already, so it's kind of hard to give them two in one year.
Okay. Notre Dame's four now.
Yeah. So
that's crazy to me.
They should honestly win out. There's no one really that's going to come close to them. Let's see. Wisconsin and Michigan had their super cool showdown. and because they were both so highly ranked, Michigan's now going to skyrocket, even though Wisconsin really isn't that good.
Michigan's six now.
Yeah, Michigan's six now. Not anywhere close to being in the top 10. They're not a good football team.
Are you sure about that?
I am 100% positive about that.
Because their only loss is to Notre Dame.
Yes, who and
who he's saying is also not good.
Who I think is also not good, yes. But Michigan still has to play play Michigan State, and which also sucks because Michigan State, literally you watch them play offense, and it's a miracle they can even move the ball sometimes. they're going to have to play each other, and then whoever wins that game is going to have a really good chance going to the playoffs just based off of how the Big Ten works.
Yeah.
Ohio State's the only one that's going to derail most of this. So fingers crossed there.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and go into Alabama because Tua got hurt, but apparently he's okay. One of the best parts of the halftime show last night was Tua's interview. It was amazing.
It was so dumb to me that they bring on a college quarterback in the middle of an NFL game.
I didn't hear it. How was it?
It was two questions.
It was literally nothing, but I was so pumped to see him. Tua was on Monday Night Football. This is great. I didn't care.
They're already breeding him into the next face of the league. Like, they're ushering. they're laying out the red carpet for him.
He was definitely the second best quarterback on TV last night, right behind C.J. Beathard.
all right, so I'll see you guys next week. It's been a good episode.
But he said his knee's fine. Saban says he's better than last week. So I don't know if it was just a really kind of swollen sore thing that pulled him out of the game.
So he's just a giant wuss is what I'm hearing.
Yes, that's what I'm hearing too.
No, he's think about how bad this injury must have been.
TC.
That it hurt a Hawaiian. But he's able to. That's how strong he is. That's
Didn't Marcus Mariota miss multiple weeks this season because he got bumped in the elbow?
Yes.
So that means anyone else would have died from his injuries.
I see.
That's how strong Mariota is. So two is fine. Our offense is still amazing, even with Hurtson. But TC, I'll go ahead and tell you right now.
Go ahead.
Sorry, what?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. I want to get in front of this. Our defense is definitely not up to usual standards. And the announcers are going to they're going to flaunt our defense. They're going to say it's really good because it's still very good compared to your typical college football defense. But we could not win a game if we had to rely on our defense at all. Our inside our linebackers in general aren't anywhere near as good. And we've lost so many over the past 2 years. I guess it's finally catching up with us. But I'm really not concerned because there's not anyone that's going to be able to outscore us. And you're going to have to throw the ball against us. Our secondary is pretty good. And so I don't really see that happening.
So what you're really saying is your linebackers are weak, but the rest of the defense is good.
We have two or three guys that are really good on the front four. And Mac Wilson's pretty good in our inside linebacker spot. The outsides, besides Anthony Jennings, aren't that good. And it's just because they're all freshmen and sophomores. They don't know how to play yet, I guess. But, we are getting gashed on the ground. We've never gotten gashed on the ground in, since 2014. It's not good.
All right, so, TC, I got to lay this out for you. I have a bone to pick with you.
Let's hear the bone.
We're, dominating the battlefields of Fortnite Saturday. And in the background, I hear the Bama game on through your screen. And all I hear is negativity. And it's over, and Tua's out for the year with the ACL. Listen. The sky was falling, the season was over, and then I look at the score. 39-10 against Drew Locke. I don't want to hear about how bad your defense is. I don't want to hear Tua's out for the year. He's fine. I watched the video. He slid. He didn't even get his knee caught up on anything. He slid.
Sounds like a little bit of a wuss, TC. A little bit of a wuss.
Okay, so I'll paint a picture for you. It's been 10 years of Saban at Alabama. In those 10 years, we haven't had a quarterback. Never. Never had a quarterback. We've never been able to throw the ball reliably. Even when A.J. McCarron was there.
Sounds like a recruiting problem.
Funny. And so finally, we get a quarterback. We're putting on the best offensive show that college football has ever seen. And then right before we even get to any of the meat of our schedule, it looks like our starting quarterback just went out for the season. It was like, and I'll admit, I overreacted, obviously. But it was such a heartbreaking moment. I didn't know how to handle it. But it's okay. We're back.
What is the meat of your schedule?
Well, by LSU? Meat, I mean, we play people that actually have numbers next to their names. Yeah.
LSU.
LSU, Mississippi State.
Garbage. Mississippi State's garbage.
Yeah, they're not good. But they're ranked, which is great. And then whatever SEC championship.
You guys have the easiest path to a title I've ever seen. You have to beat LSU, and you're in.
Yeah. So, and I'm really not even concerned about LSU. But so let's go ahead and talk about that, because I'm interested to see what you as Georgia fans actually saw from the game.
It was just sad.
We don't have an identity. Alex, was it you that was saying that?
No, it was not. That was not me.
It just, I don't know why Jim Chaney was so quick to abandon the run. I don't know why Brian Harrion, he's a good back. He could start on other teams across the country. But why is he getting third down carries when we have Elijah Holyfield who falls forward through everything? The man is a runaway train.
Yep.
And he, I mean, for as much as DeAndre Swift was touted to be the better back coming into the season, that hasn't looked to be the case. And I think the announcer said on TV that he's been dealing with some kind of groin injury or a sprain or a pull, something.
Yeah.
That's fine. Whatever it is, if Holyfield's a better back, give him 20 touches a game. It doesn't need to be as much of a split as it is right now. I don't know. It just, we abandoned the run too quickly. Fromm looked conservative. Yeah, it didn't look good. Alex?
Fromm is way – there's nothing wrong with being a game manager in college if you got the defense for it. But the defense looks suspect this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Fromm doesn't have time to play so conservatively. He's got to push the ball down the field, take some chances. Every single one of his plays is a designed rollout. He goes through his one or two reads. It's either a wide-open fullback or someone's wide open. He doesn't make big throws. It's not good. It's not good. And I think his delivery looks weird this year.
He was missing a lot of really – like, they weren't easy throws, but, like, he was straight up throwing it 5 feet over their head out of bounds.
Yeah, makeable throws, yeah. Yeah.
He has no zip on the ball. It's one of the weaker arms in the country, I think. He does have a nice touch, but, he's got to force something in over the middle. He can't. It's – everything's got, like, a little bit of lift on it.
What I was telling – Vish the other day is after that game is the Georgia has a good that we don't need to throw the ball that much. And that being said, I came into the season a huge proponent of Fromm, saying that it's his job. He took us to the national championship game, almost got it done. It's his job. Yeah. At this point in the season, I'm not advocating that we bench him outright, but like if he can start the next game, I say we put him on a small leash because as much as Georgia needs to run the ball, should run the ball, Fields opens up that running game infinitely more than Fromm does. And even if Fields' arm isn't as good as Fromm's is today, I can live with that. I think Georgia's offense can live with an arm that's not as good for what he does to the running game with that read option that we can run.
Here's the other thing. Every time they bring in Fields, it's a run. Every single time.
Yeah.
And I don't get why Fromm will get us to, you know, midfield. Then we'll bring in Fields for 3 or 4 plays. And then on 3rd and 2, we bring Fromm back in.
Yep.
So what are we doing? What is going on with that? Chaney looks like a fool this year.
Chaney does not look good. Yeah.
Yeah. And 100%, a lot of this is the personnel from last year being gone.
True.
You lost Ben Cleveland. You lost, you know.
No, we didn't. Ben Cleveland's still here.
Not Ben Cleveland. Who'd you lose? The center that went to the Pats.
David Andrews. Or not David Andrews.
That was a couple years ago. Wynn.
Lost Wynn. That's right.
I say Wynn. Yeah, the tackle from last year. Sorry. And, I mean, the whole identity last year, even with Fromm making all these good throws, you were a run-first team.
Of course.
I mean, the running in Oklahoma, even running against us in the championship, and that opened up so much for Fromm because everyone had to be concerned about the run game because Tupper Michelle could break one in any second.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, the coaching staff kind of bought into it, too. Like, all right, Fromm can just carry us. And so now, you know, you lost a lot of personnel. Your defense definitely isn't as good to get Fromm more possessions. and you're not running the ball nearly as effectively or as much, and he can't do it.
Yeah.
But at least for me, I think the worst thing possible would be to throw in Fields now. You have Florida, and then, I mean, Tech, Auburn, SEC championship game. I mean, Tua was fine, but I really don't think it's going to be impossible to find a quarterback as nearly as ready as Tua was. And he played a lot for his freshman year just because we were blowing people out.
Yeah.
I don't think Fields has been playing that much. And throwing him into the mix now with very limited reps and asking him especially to not just run but also throw the ball is not going to do anything for Georgia's chances.
That's interesting. I'll say this. I'd be shocked if Fields doesn't start week one next year.
Well,
yeah, I would too, just the way things are going there.
And another thing is, with this loss on Georgia's schedule and the way the rest of the NCAA is shaping up and what the playoff picture looks like right now, I don't think two teams from the SEC get in.
I don't either.
No, not at all.
And if that's the case, Georgia's not going to beat Bama unless you guys suffer a horrible catastrophe of injuries between now and the SEC championship game. And even then, it might be a good game, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, and Fromm is going to play this conservatively, and the defense is suspect, and the running game just isn't what it was because the offensive line isn't playing up to par as it did last year, I'm fine with splitting these snaps closer to 50-50 so Fields can actually get some run and get him ready for next year. We can start grooming him for next year. And then open it up to an actual camp battle next offseason.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you're right. They're just watching the game. I first off fully expected Georgia to just come back at any moment. I really didn't believe they were going to lose that game until the fourth quarter. I was like,
just never happened.
I don't win it. But there's no point. I thought, all right, they would be a lot better with Fields in here because Fromm didn't play great, but I mean, it's like you said, the offensive play calling was horrible.
Yeah.
There was no reason to go away from run as much as they did because I watched most of the first quarter. Every time I came back, Georgia was running the ball, doing great. And then nothing in the last three quarters of the game. It was bad.
Yeah. Was not good. Was not pretty.
And I do also want to point out, I'm still not an LSU believer because I don't think Georgia's defense is especially that great run or secondary. But LSU, Burrow had a 50% completion rating with no touchdowns. Uh-huh. That's not going to beat almost any team that's, any good at all. Yeah. Not Ohio State, not Bama. I don't believe in them.
Okay, so if two SEC teams aren't going to make it in, does Texas have a chance?
They have a chance. I don't think they're going to make it. I think because the way it's going to work out, the Big 12, I think it's they have the two best conference records play each other, which is likely going to wind up being Texas, Oklahoma State or Texas, Oklahoma. I don't think Oklahoma loses to Texas twice at all. But it'll be Notre Dame, Bama, Big 10 team. And then either Clemson or the Big 12 is going to be what the rankings are.
Okay. That's fair. Okay, so let's transition to NFL now.
Yes. Can we start with last night's game just because it was amazing? It was really fresh in my mind.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'd love to talk about it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you're amped up because and honestly, all the primetime games have been very, very good this week or this year.
Yeah.
And this one, was amazing. I did not see it coming.
I would say it was a season-saving win. In the middle of the fourth quarter, in my mind, the season was over. Because at 2-3-1 in our division with the Bears and Kings, in the NFC, and then with the Rams, Patriots, Dolphins, Seahawks, and Vikings as the next five games, it was over in my mind. And it was over in the way that we were going to be a top 10 pick. It was just going to go downhill fast. 2-3 to 2-4-1. And then we lose in the past to 2-5-1. Now the season's over. 2-5-1. It's pure panic. You go to Seattle, you lose that one, and it's over. So I don't know how you can look at Rodgers and not say that he is the best quarterback to ever play. Ever, Because Brady, the only thing Brady has on Rodgers is titles and the clutch comebacks. But Rodgers has had, I would say, more impressive comebacks than Brady has ever had, other than the Super Bowl. Other than the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. I don't know how he keeps pulling these rabbits out of his head, but it's amazing. Also, Witten's a horrible commentator.
Witten, I hate it. Witten is so bad. He trips over his words every 2 seconds.
Did you, like, he was like, San Francisco. I was like, what?
Yeah.
The whole rabbit out of the head thing. Like,
I wonder, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I wonder if, like, they could just, I don't know if promoting Booger to the booth would help and demoting Witten to the field. But I kind of want to see it. I want to see, like, all that, like,
train wreck. Inner...
Yeah. That'd be really fun for me.
Well, you can tell, like, but... Tessitore in the booth is just, you can tell he's kind of uncomfortable. He's trying to play it cool, but he's, like, looking up, like,
at what point
120 degrees like, up.
At one point, he was talking about George Kittle, and he kind of, like, paused, like, he expected Witten to, like, keep saying something. And then nothing happened, and then I was like...
that was late in the game. Silence. That was late in the game. I was like, Witten, what are you doing? You talk too much when you should, and then you don't say anything when you should.
I think Shanahan... Like, that whole game said so much for Shanahan as a coach to be able to take a team with that many injuries on the road against the Packers, like, primetime game, and almost win it. It's great.
Yeah. It wasn't that great for me.
But it was great.
Really good, dude. Shanahan's really good. Beathard looked really good. Goodwin is a jet.
So fast.
I mean, what he did to Tremont Williams on that one route was dirty.
Oh, yeah. The Niners still have been looking to replace defensive components since 2012. Yep. And they just can't find it. Man, their secondary is trash. Yeah, they play like Sherman's okay. I've never been a huge Sherman fan, and he was getting roasted by Devontae. But Jimmy Ward, not very good. There's a reason. I think he was on the Ravens, right? There's a reason they cut him. I don't know how they just kind of zone up there against the end, like at the end with Rodgers, but he was just picking him apart. There's no reason, like, you should just change it up. Put bodies on people. You don't just let them pick apart, like, the whole last drive. I didn't understand it.
So,
the pass rush disappeared that last drive. The pass rush in San Francisco looks halfway decent. They got home a good number of times against what is probably, a top 5 or 6 offensive line in Green Bay?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Pass rush is good. Gone. Pass rush disappeared on that game-winning drive. I will say this, Alex. I think this was not a season-saving win. This is a season-prolonging win. If your defense doesn't hit levels of competency, it doesn't have to be good, it has to be competent, which it was not last night.
I agree.
And the offense doesn't click, this does nothing for you other than prolong your season.
Yeah.
That's fair, but I will counter with this. Our defense, this is the worst game our defense has had this year. If you take out this game, they've looked better than they have in the last 5 years.
That's definitely true, and I'll agree with that. I mean, Kevin King had that sick interception too.
Yeah.
I think next week's gonna like paint the picture. If they can play the Pats close, I'm not worried.
We've got Rams next week. Pats and two.
I thought you have a bye next week.
We have a bye this week. Rams.
Yeah.
And Pats.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, if you can stay in those games, I'm not really.
If we can beat one of them, if we can beat the Rams or the Pats, they're both on the road. I mean, if we can just win one of those, I'd be super, super thrilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is Devontae Adams a top 5 wide receiver?
Is he?
I think it's getting closer.
I think it's getting closer.
If he's not top 5, he's top 6 or 7. I mean, I wouldn't put him lower than 7. He's
unguardable off the line.
Yeah, he looks very, very good.
I mean, who are the receivers you'd rank ahead of him?
AB, Julio.
OBJ.
Hopkins.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I put Michael Thomas up there.
I wouldn't.
Why?
He's not as good as Devontae.
If anything, Devontae has the better quarterback that would make him look better than Breeze does Michael Thomas.
What's Michael Thomas's best play ever?
What?
I couldn't
tell you Devontae. Yeah, what kind of question is that? I couldn't tell you OBJ's best play ever.
Yes, you could.
Well, yes, you could. Come on.
But what did that amount to? Did they win that game? I have no idea how that game ended.
No, they didn't win the game, but that's his best play.
Okay, so a highlight play?
No, I'm saying
there's just one highlight?
What's his best play? What's Michael Thomas's best play?
I don't know. What's Devontae's?
Because I didn't see him against the Vikings in the playoffs. He was invisible. I've never seen him make a big play, and I'm like, who is that? It's Michael Thomas. He's a system guy benefiting from Breeze's greatness.
I definitely disagree. But, okay, I think I put Michael Thomas ahead of Devontae. But okay, it's close. It's a push.
And a lot of that, I think, is just because of last year. Devontae didn't have anything because Rodgers wasn't there.
That's true.
It's a push. I could tie them for all I care. I would need to see more from both of them before I make a decision there.
Tyreek, maybe?
No way.
I love Tyreek, but, I mean, he really just...
I don't think so. I put Devontae over Tyreek. Well, what about AJ Green?
I'm very low on AJ Green.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not super high on him either.
I'd put Devontae over AJ right now.
I could see it.
But let's bring up a really, really important point. Kickers are back because they were by...
Not Matt Bryant. He isn't.
Well, they were all in the hot seat very early in the season. So many missed kicks, week 1 and 2, that cost so many games. But then this week you had Bryant hit that kick that probably ended his career.
Yep.
What a way to go out. Goskowski, game winner for the Pats. Crosby, redemption.
The Crosby.
Game winner. Like, all these kickers just, you know, finally showing up strong. Great to see it. But it did bring up the question, especially with Bryant's injury. There, like, we've had this new guard of quarterbacks come in. There has not been a new generation of kickers.
That's a good point.
It honestly feels like the best kickers are still those 40, 45-year-old kickers that have been in the league for forever. And as we just saw, they are literally dying. They're not getting replaced.
It's a dying breed.
Literally dying.
So that's just something interesting because...
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and introduce
kickers. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
Like you had Daniel Carlson come in, best kicker in Auburn history, absolutely garbage. You had Blair Walsh come in, one of the best kickers in Georgia history, really, really terrible. Like, it just seems like every time a kicker comes in, it's supposed to be really good.
The guy from FSU.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point.
That was my point. Thanks.
It's a great point.
That's like a really underrated storyline. I just wanted to bring it up.
Well, so here's the thing. What you said about Matt Bryant, he pulled the hammy. Something happened to his hammy in the game on that last kick, right? We all know that.
Yeah.
He would have gotten an MRI done on Monday. And based on that, we would have made the appropriate roster move or moves today, which we did. We signed Giorgio Tavecchio.
Yeah.
You got to add the deal. Nickname in there. Don't call me Sergio.
What is it now? What is it now?
It's Giorgio. Don't call me Sergio Tavecchio.
And you said you guys drafted him?
I don't know. We didn't draft him. He was undrafted. And we had him probably 2 years ago. And he came into camp and was bawling out. Like, there was serious questions if we were going to keep him or Cross. And then we let him go, and then the Raiders picked him up.
Because I was going to say, I looked up his stats, and I only saw stats of his from the 2017 season.
Yeah, I think Crosby got... No, that was when he was in Oakland, right?
In Oakland, yeah. I don't think he actually kicked for you guys.
He did. Maybe in the preseason he did once or twice.
Yeah, because there's no official stats in the books for that. Yeah. But the reason I'm saying this is we signed Tavecchio to a 2-year deal. But if he was supposed to be the replacement for Matt Bryant, why isn't he on IR right now? Because we signed Tavecchio. We have to cut somebody to make room for him. If we knew that Matt Bryant had either torn or pulled his hammy and he was done for the season for sure, we would have put him on IR so we don't have to cut probably a Steven Means to put Tavecchio on the roster.
So who did you cut?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. So maybe it's still to come. Maybe they just haven't announced it yet. I don't know. But what I was telling Alex is it's a 2-year deal for Tavecchio, which seems suspect, which seems like, okay, we're going to go forward with Tavecchio. But the fact that Matt Bryant's not yet on IR makes me think, and there's a possibility here that Tavecchio is the guy that the Falcons wanted to go with. We liked him a lot. We needed him on the team. But his asking price was too high to sign him to a 1-year deal and put all that money on this year's cap. So we still have to extend Grady. So we split it over 2 years, and we'll eat the dead cap should Matt Bryant or a better kicking prospect come along. That's my thought.
And honestly, it could just be like, this is Bryant's waking up moment. He kind of let the team know, even if I come back from this, this is still probably going to be my last year. Just don't want to deal with that kind of thing again. So,
yeah.
If you guys if you guys were in the AFC Championship game, it's 15 degrees out. There's a light flurry going on. It's 27-27. You have a 57-yard field goal. Who do you want as your
today?
Favorite? Today.
Tucker.
Okay. Ooh, yes. I want to take that pick too. If I can't take that pick, I'll take Vinatieri.
I don't think Vinatieri has a 57-yard leg in the snow in those conditions.
I think Matt Bryant could have done it either, but I feel like that much on the line, I'm not going to – like, Vinatieri is definitely the number two kicker that would tear his hamstring making that kick.
TC, I agree with you if this was in a dome. Bryant's kicking in a dome. Outside, 15 degrees, snow flurries, plant foot's not right. You're kicking a rock. I don't think Vinatieri gets it done at 45 or however old he is.
He's done it before, though. I think he made the best kick in NFL history in the snow against Oakland.
Oh, I agree. But that's when he was, what, 29? How long ago was that?
He might have been younger.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was in 01.
Yeah. If this was 5 years ago, if he was 40, I still take Vinatieri. But I just 45 is a little much in the snow and that weather. He might be second or third other than Tucker and Gostkowski.
I'm taking Robbie Gould.
Interesting. He had a really bad week last week.
What?
Dude, not this past week, but the week before that. But he had a really good week last night.
He is money.
Are a moron.
Thank you, sir.
Thoughts on the Bears-Dolphins game?
Amazing. An absolute thriller, man. I forgot who said it. They're like, someone's going to make a movie about this game one day. It was so great. I was like, it was. It was so good. I mean, talk about just some roller coaster of emotions. As pulling against the Bears, when Kenyon Drake coughed the ball up on the one, I was like, I started celebrating. I thought the game was over. When he dove, I was like, he's in. They won. And then all of a sudden they're fighting for the ball. I'm like, this is such a Dolphins move. Of course.
It really was.
And then they stood strong and got it to OT. And it was just, it was so good, man. It was such a good game. Osweiler out of nowhere, after all the hate for the last 3 years.
400 something yards.
Comes through big.
Yeah, the best he played amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we all saw that stat. Every first career start he's made with a different team has been against the Bears, and he's beat them every time.
No way. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Yeah. The Texans, the Broncos, Dolphins, and was that the only team? I think maybe. That might be the only three, but he's beat the Bears for his first career start every single time against those teams. So, I really think he should be on the Packers' radar. I mean, obviously, he knows something.
What are you talking about?
I'm just thinking, maybe, if this whole Dolphins thing doesn't work out, look into next year, you just sign him to, 1-year deal.
Oh,
put Rodgers on the bench when the Bears come to town. Send Osweiler out there, let him take care of business, and put Rodgers back in next week.
There's so much wrong with that statement.
Against the Bears.
Rodgers has had the most success in his career against the Bears.
But he's not undefeated.
Well, no, he's not undefeated. But he's played them, 20 times in his career?
All I'm saying is Osweiler doesn't have any losses to the Bears. And I think that should definitely be in consideration.
Got a point.
But I really wasn't surprised Trubisky. I mean, I love him. I still think he's good, but he's not going to carry the team. He's not going to do 6 touchdowns every week.
I thought he looked really bad.
I think the Dolphins' defense is a little underrated. I think they have a good front seven, and Rashad Jones is a really good safety.
Yes, he is. That one tackle he made on Cohen on 3rd and 1.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
I was like, oh, my gosh, he's so strong.
Minka's doing a lot for that team, too.
Yep.
Roll Tide. But the Bears' defense kind of completely shocked me. I'm starting to wonder, is this all Khalil Mack? Because as soon as he got hurt, like, he was a limited staff the rest of the game, and they couldn't get any pressure. They couldn't really hold up in the secondary. It was definitely concerning to me.
It was music to my ears. But, yeah, I think it is mostly Khalil Mack. I mean, think about what they have to do to stop him and all the attention they have to give him. I mean, you're talking double teams every play. They're at least chipping him off the line with a tight end, which takes away other receivers' openness. It all builds off of that one guy and the attention you have to give to him. So the second he loses, 50% or whatever with his ankle, I don't know. I think everything suffers.
Yeah. But did anyone else watch the Texans-Bills game?
Did not.
I did not see a snap.
New Deshaun was poor.
This was, honestly, I think the best storyline from this week, just overall. Because these teams are so strange. The Texans, they should be one of the best teams in the AFC, and they were in a 13-13 tie with the Bills up until the fourth quarter. It's so dumb. But pregame, and I don't know if you saw this, Josh Allen asked Kelvin Benjamin if he would want to run some routes, and Kelvin Benjamin said no.
No. Yeah, I did see that.
Wow.
This is just awesome.
Wow.
When Josh Allen hurt his arm, and it came out today, he might have a Tommy John injury. Did you see that?
I saw he could be out a while.
I did.
Yeah, so it's possible, depending on how bad it is, he might be out like a 2-year recovery.
No. I just read an update. So it was some reporter from Buffalo who said he's going to be out for 2 weeks for sure. At that point, he's going to be evaluated on a week-to-week basis. The injury that he suffered, and this is corroborated by Pro Football Doc, doesn't seem to warrant Tommy John surgery. So that's not a tear that's bad enough that's going to warrant that. So it's probably not going to get that far, but definitely not something that you want to hear from the quarterback that you just drafted.
No, for sure. And I really hate it because, like, just his interviews, he seems like a kind of cool guy. He's not the greatest, but he went out. Nathan Peterman came in and told the coaching staff, "I got this." And they went through 2 interceptions, including a game-clinching pick 6. So it really puts the Bills coaching staff in a bind because Allen's out. Everyone hates Nathan Peterman, which basically leaves them with Derek Anderson, who was signed 3 days ago.
Yep. They're a disaster.
They're a disaster. So the best storyline to me is to have them retrade for A.J. McCarron and just, like, have that go on because that would be awesome.
Did you see what Peterman said post-game?
Oh, yeah, that he's defined by his relationship with Christ.
Yeah, and he's not finding his identity in the game of football.
No. Well, it doesn't really look like he's finding anything but the opposing team. In the football, so,
if he's in the league after this season, something's severely wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when he got drafted like 2 years ago and people were saying, "Poor man's Tom Brady."
What?
Yeah, I remember hearing it.
At this point, that sounds like a compliment.
So, yeah.
So, I got a couple more things to mention, and then we're going to talk about the Falcons game. We're not getting out of this hard enough. Arizona, fun stat, they are 28th in the league in rushing attempts, but first in attempts up the middle, which really just
makes me they're
angry
as so a third dumb
Arizona fan. Just a very strange week overall. Broncos almost beat the Rams.
Yep.
It's just weird.
Rams are a bit fake. Just a bit fake.
Just a bit. And the only kind of pro I can think of this is they still have Chris Harris. They still have
that's true.
I mean, their secondary is not bad, and Gurley ran for over 200 yards, so maybe it was just how the game went. Cowboys blew out the Jags, which was just weird.
Shocking.
Redskins beat the Panthers. I mean, that's not the strangest thing, but compared to how the Panthers played last week, I just, instead of how the Skins played last week.
You know, the Redskins have one of the best defenses in the league. Do you know that?
Yeah, I did actually see their stats this morning. They don't, like, Alex Smith just chooses to underperform everywhere he goes. It's very strange. So I got a conclusion. The only consistencies are the Pats always kind of being there. Based off this season, the Chiefs.
Yep.
Because that game was awesome.
That game was awesome. There were so many good games this weekend. That was one of them.
That was one of them. And then I feel like the Falcons are pretty consistently Falcons.
Yes.
So let's talk about that game, because I think they're ruining football right now. They were once again almost involved in one of the most amazing finishes to an NFL game ever, and they ruined it. I mean, DeSean Jackson had the opportunity to be score a game-winning touchdown again as time expired. And I feel like I have to blame the Falcons for the fact that it didn't happen.
Can't say that I'm sorry.
If they would have pulled that off, it would have been crazy. I've never seen a game-winning, whatever they call that thing, though.
I was losing my
hook and ladder. Or what? That wasn't even a hook and ladder. It was some like
it was there for them. It was beautifully drawn up. When Jameis took off with the ball, I was like, "What on earth is he doing?"
Same.
And if he and it was all there for him. I don't know who their white slot receiver is. Humphreys. There you go. He lined up in the right side in the slot. As Jameis took off up the field, he crossed behind him to Jameis's left, and he was supposed to be the first pitch man. And then it was supposed to go to Mike Evans, and they had DeSean Jackson. It was a rugby play.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson, you have your fastest guy lined up on the wing. You hope it doesn't have to get to him, but he's your last chance and your best bet if it does.
Yeah.
And what threw it off, Jameis held onto the ball too long.
Yeah, he did. Another.
The fact that ball didn't end up in Humphrey's hands to start that pitch process is what screwed them.
Another half second earlier, Humphrey makes a clean catch, has the touchdown.
Yep.
But, I mean, even if DeSean's able to just scoop it up and go, he had it too.
Yeah. So, yeah, no one's getting to the side. No one's getting there to beat DeSean Jackson to the end zone.
Oh, no way. But, I mean, that whole Falcons-Bucks game was also a very good game.
Yeah, it was.
So, I don't – it sucks that Ridley went out. Sanu played pretty well. And even after – I think Sanu got hurt too. They didn't miss a beat. And I was honestly kind of shocked about that. But the offense looks to be back. Well, the passing game looks to be back. Freeman's on the IR. Arnav, are you concerned?
For this season? Or what are we?
That's so dumb.
I don't know. Are you? Like,
what are we talking about? Are we talking about long-term implications? Are we talking about this season? I don't think this team is going to do anything this season. We don't get Deion Jones back until week 11 at the earliest, and that's assuming he's 100% healthy by then. This defense isn't going to stop anybody. This defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. I think out of all the Pro Bowl level players that we've lost, Freeman is the least concerning because we have the most suitable replacement for him in Tevin Coleman and now Ito.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's been out half the season anyway, and they still haven't really been able to do anything. So,
so Freeman on IR. That's how you made room for Tavecchio.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's it. There you go.
Good point. So is he – like? So he's done for the year now.
So, no. So the report's coming out, and Dan Quinn coming from the Pete Carroll coaching tree is exactly like Pete Carroll. When it comes to injuries, you can not trust anything that he says. Like, he said Keanu Neal was going to be fine after he tore his ACL, and then two days later it came out that he tore his ACL. So he said Devontae Freeman is – like, he said Deion Jones was day-to-day, and then we threw him on IR, like, 3 days later. So he said Devontae Freeman is we're hoping to have him back off of IR at the end of the season, which means we're probably going to amputate a leg, and he's going to be Blade Runner 2.0.
That's good. He really plant that foot in and block.
Yeah, there you go.
What's his actual injury?
So
it's a bone bruise, I think?
No. So he had a foot contusion going into this week, which is why he didn't play. But the groin injury that he suffered earlier this year is apparently about to be operated on. So he's having groin surgery.
Gosh, jeez, that's bad, dude. So he can't come back till week 15 minimum, right?
That's what I'm saying. And come week 15, we're not in this. We're not in the playoff race by then. So I don't think there's any point. Long-term, I didn't know if you were asking about my long-term worry about his contract. I didn't know if that's where you were going with this question.
Oh, yeah. We can throw that in there. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so I mean, we just signed him, and I think it's next year we take $6 million in dead cap money, and the year after we take another $7 million if we cut him. So I don't think that's in the cards. I think you shut him down this year, and you just hope that he comes back healthy next year. And we just make the most of what we have this season. Like, now the good thing is teams are potentially going to get an extended look at Tevin Coleman entering free agency. So yeah. I'm not 100% sure about how these compensatory draft picks work, but so we'll see. We'll see what happens with Tevin Coleman. I don't think there's any chance that we re-sign him now that he's going to get such an extended look because some team is going to pay out the nose for him.
So depending on what Tevin's contract is and you don't trade him, you will get a good comp pick.
Yeah.
Maybe a fourth or fifth rounder.
Yeah, I really don't know how those comp picks work, so can't comment there. But as for the running game, we can get an extended look at Ito Smith now. He's going to be with us for a while. We'll put some miles on Tevin's legs and hopefully let Devontae get healthy for next season.
Are you still behind Dan Quinn?
Yeah, he took the literal worst defense in the league when he came into Atlanta. Made it a 21st ranked defense in 1 year and had us in the Super Bowl. I'm not jumping ship on Dan Quinn. I'm not worried.
Okay. I wouldn't either. I think he's still good.
Yeah, no, I think he's fine.
That being said, what does concern me more than Dan Quinn is what we're seeing in the NFL and how much it looks like it's going to help over the coming years having an offensive-minded head coach as opposed to a defensive one.
Yep.
Defenses are being marginalized, it looks like.
That's true.
That's where we spent a lot of our draft capital over the last couple seasons. So we'll see how it pays off. But I mean, it's never going to hurt having a good defense. But
no, I know. You
miss Shanahan a lot now.
Yeah.
Well, Sarkisian's been doing pretty well, and so I think getting a coach like Sarkisian, like Shanahan for offensive coordinator, actually, you know, is going to be the best thing for the teams because you save money. You're just paying one coach to perform with an offense rather than paying all these high-played offensive players.
Yeah.
And then putting your money into the defense to slow down some of these offenses as much as you can.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting.
So the only other thing I had to bring up was the fact that really cool QB analytics are back. We had a very cool special on Brady's hips, Mahomes' torque, and Rodgers' index finger. and I just love seeing that kind of stuff. It really gets me going.
That was Witten's worst take last night. Look at the index finger. We're like, Witten, what are you doing, dude?
I'll be honest, I don't know if that's actually a thing or not, but I've never heard anyone,
I haven't either,
you know, Gruden's QB camp, any commentator ever point that out. And as Witten's not a quarterback, it makes me very hesitant to even think it is a thing. I think that's just something he made up. And you're just kind of rolling with it.
Also, I just want to say this. What is with Booger's little chair? What is
I
that?
I love it.
Thing?
I love it.
I mean, can you imagine paying $500 to sit on the
on
the first or second row, and then you get Booger every time the ball passes you right in front of you in like a big whatever chair floating in the air?
First off, it's a throne. And I'm pretty sure it's called the snot rocket.
What? Are you serious?
If it's not, I think it definitely should be.
You just pulled that out of your rear end?
Yeah, I think it works. Come on.
You know what it reminds me of is C-3PO on Endor being carried by the Ewoks because they think he's God.
Good. He should definitely get a mural like just painted around the edges of it.
It's so dumb to me. I mean, that might be the best job in the entire world. He's probably making $1 million this year, maybe $2 million. He sits in a chair, best seat in the house, and he talks what? Every couple plays, he throws in a comment?
But
he's living the life.
He does have to deal with the fact that they chose Witten over him to be up in the booth.
That's true. That's true. But, all right, well, it was a good week of NFL. Anyone else have anything to throw out there before we go to our mount?
No,
not me. I'm good.
All right, so TC, what's the name of this thing? Because when you texted the name, I was like, did you just sneeze while you were typing? What's going on here?
This is the Mount Nanda Parbat of football personalities.
Where is that mountain?
I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in Asia, like Taiwan. Like, this is where people go. Like, this is where, like, the traditional monks are. That's where this is.
Okay, okay. Interesting.
TC, say that again?
Nanda Parbat.
Dude, that's not a real place.
Okay, literally, all I did was type in
Maui. Let me tell you what it is. It is in the DC Comics universe. Let me finish. Is a fictional city in the Himalayas in the DC universe.
Dude, okay, I swear to you, I was like, isn't that fake thing in that? And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. But I went to a list of mountains by elevation on Wikipedia, and I swear to you, I saw that one. I was like, all right, I like it.
Someone snuck that in there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I messed it up. It should be Nanga Parbat. It's in Pakistan, the Himalayas, 8,126 feet. So what happened was I read that, and I read it probably as Nanga Parbat.
Okay.
Let me just throw this in there very quickly. Speaking of DC, Venom sucked. Can I say I told you so?
Did you see it?
It's fine.
No, I didn't see it. I'm not watching that.
I'm not going to watch it. It's pretty bad.
I don't know. It's got a 7.2 on IMDb with 50-some thousand reviews.
Really?
Yeah. Critics railed it. Audiences apparently love it.
I'm just going to say, back when we started this podcast, I got up on a pedestal. And I put myself out in the line and said, no more. Make it end. No more superheroes.
This is not a superhero, but go on.
And I think I am slowly being proven right. And I am accumulating in my bandwagon a group so large, it's gaining steam. We're going down a little hill right now, gaining steam, as people just try and hop in. Get in the bandwagon. We're bailing on Marvel. We're bailing on DC.
If you have anyone in your bandwagon, they're in Wisconsin, and we've already kind of covered how weird everyone in Wisconsin is, so I'm not buying what you're selling. Any water you had kind of drained away once Infinity War came out, especially once Infinity War 2 comes out.
And Alex, you have to understand, Venom might not be any good, that's fine. But this is Sony. This isn't Marvel.
Doesn't count.
Wait till Captain Marvel. That's dinner.
Superhero
that's,
movies.
That's fine, but if you were basing this take the whole ended, I don't want to see any more superhero movies. I would rather watch Lady Gaga. If you're basing that take on Venom and Venom alone, that's not the way to do it. Wait till Captain Marvel comes out. Wait till Infinity War 2 comes out.
I'm not basing it on just Venom.
What else? What other Marvel movie has not done well in the last 10 years?
My whole argument is not that they're not doing well. It's that they're not good.
Obviously, that's not the case. Look at the numbers. They're blowing box office records out the window. They're setting records left and right. They're doing just fine, Alex.
Everyone here knows my point. Let's continue.
And everyone out there knows your point, too. This is a podcast. People listen to this. Okay. The Mount Nanga Parbat.
Can we keep it as Nanda?
Just
roll with for Alex.
It's easier to say. I keep missing up the G's anyway. So, I don't know if I'm gonna. I'm trying to pick one that no one's gonna. Okay, I put this as my example. If you took it, then you shouldn't have because it was an example. But I didn't say it because it was my example. I'm gonna throw out Odell.
So what is the mount? What is the mount for our listeners?
Football personalities. So this is just the personalities that make football great.
Okay.
Like, every week, it's the storylines behind the games. It's what drives everything. And that bodies Odell. Everything from him tearing apart the locker room to clearly being the best offensive player on the field. And, like, my favorite part of every Giants game each week is what object he's going to get into a fight to next. I just can't wait to see it. I just love him. I love how hateable he is. It's great.
It's a good pick. And then you get the whole thing on the boat with all that.
Yep.
Yes.
It's a very good pick. It's a very good pick. Okay, my first pick is Ocho Cinco. Oh, love Chad it. Johnson. I know he's retired. I'm not sure if he still has a show on MTV or not. But when that dude was in the league, he was so crazy. So fun to watch. He made a Bengals team who has been irrelevant for 30 years, 40 years. Fun to watch. And I went to a Falcons game one time against the Bengals, and he was there. And it was just – it was so fun to watch him down there, jawing off on the sideline, nonstop with the little dances. He's a beast.
He made Hard Knocks great.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
I love it. All right. Arnav?
Yeah, so I had Odell. The reason
it was
being...
an example. What do you mean?
You want me to pick someone else?
Yeah, just pick –
All right, I'll go to number two. And Alex, you're going to love this. I don't think football without an association with this guy in my head, and it's Colin Cowherd.
Good. Ooh, dude. Ooh, good.
I don't know what the numbers are, but he keeps referencing how when he switched from ESPN to Fox and this show started, and over the course of the first couple years of the show, his numbers have gone through the roof, and I can see it. Sometimes I just hate the guy. Sometimes I think he's a total moron. But I'll listen to his show 3 or 5 days a week.
Same here, dude. Same. I listen to him for 3 hours at work every day. He's just – it takes special talent for 20 years to come into work and make 3 hours of content every single day by yourself. By yourself. Joy's there, but she doesn't really contribute.
Well, no, Christine is still there. She's under the desk.
That is
so in the line there, Arnav.
That's a great choice. That is a great choice, Arnav.
Thank you.
Okay. My number two is the face of the NFL, Roger Goodell.
Oh.
I don't think anyone embodies football more than Roger Goodell. He tries to fix it pretty much every single day. He tries to make sure it's a fair game. Just a very good American, honestly. Balance, democracy, freedom. What's not to love? Everyone needs that person to just get behind, and I really think like Goodell does that perfectly.
See, I hate Goodell. I hate Goodell.
See? You're getting behind. You're behind him. You're ready to push him off. That's fine. As long as you're behind him, that's okay.
So, funny story. My uncle Rufus.
Oh, Rufus.
They went up to Buffalo in July. And there's a lake house. They have a lake cottage up there. Like 2 hours southeast of Buffalo. And they're out on the lake on the boat. And what do you know? All of a sudden a boat pulls up. It's Roger Goodell. He pulls up on a boat next to him, and my Uncle Rufus, he didn't know who he was.
Until
they start driving away, and someone's like, yo, that was Roger Goodell. He's like, who's Roger Goodell? That's the commissioner of the NFL. Oh, that's pretty sick. It was cool. It was a cool story.
That's amazing.
All right, my number two, Neon Dion.
I like it.
He's just a lot of swagger. I think it speaks for itself. Every time after the games in the playoffs on NFL Network, he's always on, and he's got his little segment with Lil Wayne or his little rapper that he talks to. You ball, you're going to get the call. And that's after he's retired. Even before that, in Atlanta and San Fran and Dallas, he was just a baller. A baller.
One of my favorite things is when all these really old, like, especially former players in almost any sport, talk about how they can just go back and beat players right now.
Yeah.
Just love it. Let's stir up the pot.
And Deion's got, like, that whole commercial he did with that alter ego with the big fro. I forgot what it was called. But
Yeah. Gosh, I can't remember. That was, like, one of my favorite NFL draft commercials was Leon Sandcastle.
That's it.
Yeah, that was great.
So, yeah.
Arnav?
So, after that, I have J.J. Watt. everything that he did, the freak athlete that he was, the pace that he was on before the injuries kind of derailed his career these last couple of years, coupled with what he did raising money for the hurricane victims, absolutely phenomenal. Everyone loves this guy. And the fact that his brother is now in the league and is playing really well has done nothing but up the stock of the Watt family. So I'm going JJ Watt.
Good pick.
That's good. It's a very wholesome pick. I really like people like the Gronk brothers, the Watt brothers. I can't wait till Riley goes to the NFL, him and Calvin. Like, I love seeing like the family dynamics in the NFL at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In like 5 years when Tua and Taulia Tagovailoa are both quarterbacks on different NFL teams, it's going to be great.
Bless you.
They're going to start an NFL team in Hawaii. Just watch.
All right.
My number three. This is tough. This is really tough. I'm between two I really want to mention. We might have to have an alternate. But I'm going to go with, in general, the backup quarterback. And we have all had this happen. Your starter goes down. It's a dark, dark moment. You're feeling the despair. And then the backup walks on. And there's such a mixture of hope and anxiety and fear that just raises your emotions to a level. It's like you can't see anything. It's just that adrenaline going. You're just tunnel visioned on the TV. And sometimes you get the Ryan Fitzmagic and he's throwing for 6 touchdowns and 7,000 yards a game. Then you get the Fitztragic where it's pretty you get the Brock Osweiler dynamic. Is he going to be good this game? Is he not? Just over and over again, when the backup comes in, it's such a great moment. The backup quarterback makes football great.
I like it. I like it. Okay. Number three on my Mount DC is Gronkowski.
Nice.
The Gronk. I think he's currently the best personality in the game. He throws his cruises, he does his spikes, he's got all the commercials. He is so fun. I love watching him. And I'm gonna miss him when he's gone.
I am too, honestly. He's literally probably the greatest tight end to ever play the game.
You guys aren't gonna miss him. You guys heard what Tom Brady said to him after the game, right? We're gonna play forever, man. They're never retiring.
I don't know if anyone saw this. It's been like they got like 12,000 upvotes on Reddit. But during the game, like, you know, the Brady's in shotgun, they're lined up to snap a play, and Gronk's like crouched down, and he's like, "Gronk, stand up!" And
yeah.
Yep. It was
great. I love it. Oh, all right. I don't know.
Chris Carter. This is a guy who we have commentate on football on his daily podcast. So we get to hear this guy every day. So the consistency is key.
Okay.
He's a dude, pro bowler, all pro, Hall of Famer, who has dealt with the things that he's dealt with in life and now can offer his perspective on what it is to be great, what it is to deal with issues like his substance abuse, and then return to greatness. That, and he got to help usher in Randy Moss, maybe the best receiver that we've ever seen, the most physically dominant receiver the NFL has ever seen. He helped usher in that era in Minnesota. I like Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Good argument.
Nice. I cannot for the life of me remember who the two receivers were, but they had this segment on NFL Network like 6 years ago, and they had like that machine that shoots the footballs out. And Chris Carter would just stand at the side, and he would stand at the side, and he would just one hand catch them as they came, like with his right hand just reaching out and grabbing them, and like the other two guys couldn't do it. I cannot remember who they were, but they were like NFL wide receivers, and it was just like, man, you guys can't do this. Come on,
yeah, he's wild.
He was good.
Okay, so my last one, and this is probably the debate we'll be having, but I'll go ahead and go Brady.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I know, like, he's the greatest of all time. He has just everything that's been going on with the Pats, from being the 6th-round pick to now pretty much the most hated quarterback in the NFL. He's got the super weird, you know, Jehovah's Witness diet. He has a toxic body.
Don't you dare speak badly about avocado ice cream.
Sorry. He's kicking the backups off the team. I mean, like the NFL would just, it's going to be so sad when Brady retires. And for like a day, and then I'll be happy. But like that one day, I'll be super sad.
The fiercest competitor we've ever seen.
Agreed.
Great pick, DC. Great pick. Okay, my last one to round it out is a little guy named Steve Smith.
Nice. Oh, yes.
For his size, what is he, 5'9", 5'10"?
5'9".
He still is on NFL Network, just a bundle of energy. He stumbles over his words, but he just says it with such passion. He's just got such fervor all in that little body, and it's just – it is. I mean, he dominated the league, and now I really enjoy listening to him on NFL Network because he's just – so passionate.
Great personality. I love him. There's a, like, it's so, because I'm 5'9". Why can't I do what Steve Smith does? It's so sad.
It's a great point. I think it says a lot. As a Falcons fan, I was very happy to see him leave Carolina.
Yes.
Very, very happy. In the interest of time, I'll keep this one short. This one only requires two words and no explanation. Aaron Hernandez.
Man, I say we end it there. I mean, there's no point getting hung up on this one.
Oh my gosh. Well, another great episode, gentlemen. Arnav, thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. It's a pleasure, boys.
It's been real. It's been fun. Until next week, guys.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
See you, boys.